understand, but according to my watch, which more or less regulated by the clock, it's time to start. And so we've got a song to start with this morning. Yes, number five. Now, we don't have to restrict ourselves to the back page like we often do. The hymns on the back page of this hymn sheet, as they call it, are particularly designed for children, but we can also sing some of the hymns on the other part of the hymn sheet, number five. Let's sing the whole hymn, a wonderful hymn to begin our Sunday school with. Number five.
Oh, happy day, I fix my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this holy heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad.
Transactions done. Who here on the front row can tell me what a transaction is? Anybody can tell me what a transaction is? Yes?
An exchange.
Very good. Very good. I thought it I would have to illustrate it. Maybe I still will. Is there anybody here on the front row that has a penny? Anybody here has a penny? I see some checking their pockets. You got a penny?
I got a dime.
You got a dime. Would you be willing to exchange your dime for a quarter? Okay, give me the dime. I'll give you the quarter. You can find the dime there. Okay. Now, that's an exchange. That's a transaction. And he came out better on it than I did. That's all right. That's a transaction. The word transaction is made up of two other words, which means an action across. Really, it means an exchange. Now, this song is about a transaction. Jesus took my sins and gave me happiness. An exchange. Is that a good exchange? For Jesus to take my sins and give me happiness, joy, salvation. That's a wonderful exchange. And that's what we just sang about. All right, how about another song?
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Okay, that's number 40 on the back. And we won't sing all of Jesus Loves Me, we'll sing just the first two verses, and I'll tell you a little story about this song. Number 40.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Song. This song was written by a lady named Anna Warner. She never married, never had children, but she wrote this song for children. Anna lived with her sister Susan out east about 150 years ago, and they both wrote children's books, which were very popular at the time. And Anna wrote the story about a little boy who was dying, and someone came to visit the little boy and quoted him two verses. I actually quoted him several verses of a poem. These two verses I'm pretty sure of. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let a little child come in. And that was supposed to be good news for that little boy who was dying. You think that was good news? Is that good news for a person that's dying? Sure it is. Well, that was just a fictional story, but it caught the attention, that poetry caught the attention of a hymn tune writer named William Bradbury, and he introduced Jesus Loves Me as a hymn to the public. And people have sung this ever since in many, many languages. It's probably the most popular song in the world, at least among Christians. It's the most popular song, probably the most popular song among Christians, because it's such a wonderful truth. Jesus loves me. Let's have one more song. We're a little bit short for time this morning. So one more song, and then we'll get on to our verse. Anybody else have a choice?
Here, John.
Go ahead.
It's kind of, it's got, Is that story kind of close to number 44?
Number 44. It reminds you of the story we have connected with hymn number 44. This is a true story about a little boy and a gypsy boy. A little gypsy boy in a tent, and he was dying, and someone came and told him about the Lord Jesus. And this is a true story. This is a true story. Number 44. Let's sing the whole hymn.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
We thank thee for thy love, thy love for sinners. We thank thee for the love that would give the Lord Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we ask this morning that each one here might hear the message, however thou dost convey it. To each heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we had a memory verse. At least most of us, I assume, had a memory verse that was shown in the Sunday school paper we got last Sunday. And who remembers what that verse is? Anyone learn the verse for this Sunday? Anybody know that verse? Yes, sir. But can you stand up and say it?
We love him because he first loved us. John. 1 John 1:2.
Very good. Does anyone else want to say the verse? Okay, go ahead.
We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:18.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to say it. We'll go around here. Okay, go ahead. In the plaid shirt here.
We loved him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
Okay. Miss somebody?
Paul.
Oh, Paul. Paul, do you want to say the verse?
We love him because he first loved us. John 4:19.
Okay. I kind of forgot about this second row. Anybody else there? Nobody has to. Okay, go ahead. We love him because... see real well, so I appreciate the help I get spotting folks. Anybody continue around the line here? Anybody else here? All right.
We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
Yeah.
We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
All right.
We loved him because he first loved us.
Here, front row. Miss anybody? Go ahead.
We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
All right, good. I remember when I was being in Sunday school once, and I had worked so hard to learn a verse, and then I didn't get my chance to say it. I was disappointed. And we like to hear children say verses. It's wonderful to get these truths in our minds and then in our hearts. This is a wonderful verse. You know, when I was asked to take the Sunday school, the first thing I did was see what verse I might be expected to talk about. And I saw this verse and thought, oh, how wonderful to talk about the love of God. I just couldn't think of anything more wonderful to talk about. I was looking forward to thinking about it for the next few days. And I have thought about it quite a bit, and I thought of several stories that illustrate the love of God. And I want to tell you one story, and then I want to illustrate another one. I'm going to tell you a story. Oh, I should ask a little bit of question. Before I tell a story, I should ask a question. How many here believe they know what it is to be loved? How many here have someone that loves them? All right. You have parents that love you. How many here believe their parents love you? All right. Now keep your hands up. Unless you're not sure about this next question. How many here think their parents love them even when they spank them? Oh, that's good. It's true. Because loving doesn't always have to do with a feeling. And I want to explain that to you. I'll tell you another story. Years ago, this is many years ago, maybe 100 years ago, I don't know for sure, maybe a little bit less than 100, but there was a man named Albert Drecker who was a bridge keeper. His job was to take care of a drawbridge that went over a river. And sometimes there were boats coming down the river, and he had to open the bridge and let the boats through. And then sometimes there were trains coming on the railroad track, and he had to make sure the bridge was closed so the trains could go over the river. And one day Albert Drecker was letting a boat go through the bridge, and just as the boat was going through, was just about through, he started to lower the bridge, and just then he heard the whistle of the train in the distance. And he knew he had time to close the bridge if he stayed right there on the job, because he had to do it manually. He had to keep his hand on the lever to close the bridge. And he knew if he stayed on the job, he'd have the bridge closed in time for the train to go over the river. But something else happened just then, too.
His little boy, he saw his little boy come running along the bank of the river toward him, and then his little boy stumbled and fell into the river. What do you think Albert Drecker did when he saw his boy fall into the river? What do you think he did? Yeah, that's what you think you might do. You know what Albert Drecker did? He kept his hand on the lever. He thought about the people on the train. He loved his little boy. But he kept his hand on that lever, and he watched his son struggling in the water, but he kept his hand on the lever so that the bridge would be closed when the train came through, because there were a lot of people on that train that would die if the bridge wasn't closed. Did Albert Drecker love his little boy? Yes, he did. As soon as the bridge was closed, he dove into the water to rescue his son. But his son had drowned. He loved his son. Let me ask you a question. Did Albert Drecker love the people on that train? What do you think?
Yes, he did.
He did. He probably didn't have a clue who was on the train. He didn't know who they were, but what he did was an act of love for those people on the train. It wasn't a matter of feeling for those people on the train. But it was a matter of doing what needed to be done. And he sacrificed his son for those people on the train. Now that reminds us a bit of what God has done, doesn't it? Reminds us that God gave his son for us. That was real love. I want to talk about that because that is the greatest love story. You know, there's lots of books in this world, probably few things more popular than love stories. We all like love stories. We like to watch couples that are just engaged or about to be engaged. We like to watch parents with children. We like to see the love. But God has given us an illustration of love that we can never forget. And that's what I want to illustrate this morning with his help. Now, who can tell me what do you suppose we're going to talk about? Yes. What?
That the two.
Can't come up with the word? How about somebody else? Yes.
Lord dying on the cross.
Yes, the Lord dying on the cross between the two thieves. Is that what you're trying to think of? The two thieves. Right. Let's read about that in Luke chapter 23. This is the greatest illustration of love. The greatest love story we could ever tell. Luke chapter 23. We love him because he first loved us. And this is how God showed his love. We have a verse in Romans 5 that says, God commends, or God shows, or demonstrates his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God showed his love. And so we're going to read the story in Luke 23 and talk about that just a little bit. We'll read Luke 23 starting with verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And so we have three crosses on the flannel graph here. That's what they call this thing here, a little flannel graph. Three crosses, and there were three men on those three crosses. They used to put these crosses up in a prominent place close to a rope. We don't realize that from the scripture here, and I'm not going to insist that it was true in this case, but the Romans habitually chose a hill close to a road for crucifixion so that people passing by could see Roman justice. And so the Lord Jesus and two thieves were nailed to crosses and put up on the hill called Calvary for people to see. And if you had been there and looked, if you were just passing by and didn't know what was going on, you would have looked up there and said, oh, there's three criminals. Because out on the outside, they looked pretty much alike. If anyone looked worse than the other, it was just probably the Lord Jesus, because they had beaten him. And he was bloody from the beatings and the thorns put on his head. And so people would have looked at the three men crucified there and said, oh, there's three criminals. And you know, we all look pretty much alike. But the Bible tells us something. The Bible tells us what? Who can read this? Who wants to read this verse? All right, read it, please. Yes, man looks on the outside, but the Lord looks on the heart. Does he always do that? Yes, he's doing it this morning. God is looking into each heart here, and he knows what you're like on the inside. Now, I see a bunch of boys and girls that are nicely dressed and clean faces. Most of them look like they're awake. God looks on the inside. And that's what we have a little picture of here. This is what God saw. When people were passing by the hill of Calvary, they just saw three men. But this is what God saw. He saw his perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw two malefactors. That's what it says. Let's read about it. In Luke 23, here again, verse 33, there they crucified him and the malefactors. Malefactor is somebody who does something wrong. We could be called malefactors. What's another word for malefactor? Mal means bad. Factor means doer. Okay? So a malefactor is a bad doer. What's another word for a bad doer?
A sinner.
Sinner. Yeah. And that can describe us. And the Bible says what? What does the Bible say? Read that to us, please.
There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:22-23.
Right, there is no difference. These two men beside the Lord Jesus were just like us, and we're just like them. We're sinners. But there was one difference. Who could read this verse for us? Oh, God. Glad to see the hands go up.
And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. 1 John 3:5.
Good. He was manifested. He was shown to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And so we have the Lord Jesus represented by a white cross with a little blue around it to show that he came from heaven. His righteousness was heavenly righteousness, divine righteousness. And the two men beside him were sinners, represented by black crosses. And that's like us. We weren't like him. We were like them. Well, let's read what it says here. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. Now just think, we read this story, we've all heard the story so often, this happened here on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was down here. He was doing nothing but good, and they crucified him. Has somebody ever been mean to you? I've had somebody being mean to me. What do we want to do when somebody's mean to us? What do we want to do? Yes.
Get revenge.
Get revenge. Oh, yes. We want to get back at them. Did the Lord Jesus do that? No, he didn't. And you know, the wonderful thing is, he was the one person that was entitled to do it. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. The Lord Jesus had the right to take vengeance, and he didn't. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them. Just think of that. And he desires that every one of us should be forgiven this morning. Are you forgiven? Have your sins been forgiven? The Lord Jesus prayed for these people that were crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, the truth is, when we do something, we say, oh yeah, it's bad. But we really don't realize how bad it is. When we sin, we don't realize how serious sin is. We don't really know what we're doing. God does. God sees what we don't see. Well, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. That means he made fun of the Lord Jesus. He mocked him and said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, we have just read about the death of the Lord Jesus. It was wonderful. Wonderful how he died. Wonderful why he died. We read some details about it. God tells, this is God's story. Every detail here is important. And he tells us a few things about the men who were dying beside the Lord Jesus. You know, we're all dying. You realize that? From the day we're born, we start to die. How many here have ever had a scab? Is that scab, do you still have the scab or to fall off? It's gone. It's part of you that grew and then died. And we change our skin, they tell me, every 7 years. Our whole skin has changed. And what happens to the old skin? It's gone. We're dying continually, even while we're growing. Part of us is dying. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And this world is full of sin. And our lives are full of sin. If a person never sinned, they would never die. Well, the Lord Jesus, he never sinned. And he didn't have to die, but he chose to die. He chose to die between two thieves. And these two thieves knew who was next to them. And one of the thieves, they made fun of the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, both thieves did at first. And then one thief changed. One thief, we'll say it was this one here, said to the other, don't you realize that we're about to meet God? This is no time for joking. And it's true now. Life is serious. We like to laugh. They say laughing's good for us. But there's a time to be serious and realize that we are guilty before God and we need salvation. And so this one thief, we'll say it's the thief on the side here closest to me, he said to the other thief, we deserve what we're getting. We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. He knew the Lord Jesus was innocent. He didn't know how perfect the Lord Jesus was, but he knew the Lord Jesus was innocent. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He turned to the Lord Jesus and trusted the Lord with his future. How many here, I wonder, don't hold up your hands. How many here have trusted the Lord with your future? Not just your future in this life, but how about your future in the next? Remember the story we sang about the little gypsy boy? He says, "Oh, it's wonderful to know that someone loves me. Tell everybody that story." That's what we're doing this morning. There's no better news than to know that God loves you. He gave the Lord Jesus to die for you, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What about your future? If you were to die this morning, and it could happen, if you were to die this morning, where would your soul be? Well, this man here talked to the Lord Jesus about his future. Have you ever talked to the Lord Jesus about your future? It's very important. Every one of us has a future. Where are you going to spend eternity? There's this life too down here. If the Lord leaves you down here, you have a life to live. If you live it without him, you're in danger of dying without him and being without him forever. Now is the time. This man knew his time was about up. And he talked to the Lord Jesus about his future. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Verily," that means truly, "I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That was good news. This man didn't realize how good that news was, I'm sure. But that was good news. Now, it says after that, it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That means that God kind of just symbolically, shall we say, put a curtain over the whole thing. God was doing something that man could never understand. Something that man had no part in. It was between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about what God did during those 3 hours of darkness. This is very important to every one of us here. During those 3 hours of darkness, this is what God did. He took the sins of that believing thief and laid them on the Lord Jesus. And he took my sins and laid them on the Lord Jesus. What about your sins? Did Jesus bear your sins during those 3 hours of darkness? Well, you know, in the 3 hours of darkness, oh, by the way, there's scripture for that. It says here, who's going to read this verse for us? What a girl to read it for a change. Any girls going to volunteer? Come on, you're a good reader. Read that for us.
"Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree." 1 Peter 2:21-24.
Isn't that wonderful? The perfect Son of God bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Well, that's what happened during those hours of darkness. And then after the 3 hours of darkness were ended, the darkness was lifted, and here is what God saw on Calvary. Now, isn't that amazing? Two innocent men, two righteous men. One because he was the Son of God from heaven, and the other, I wonder if anybody knows why this cross is edged in red. Who would like to suggest why I put a red edging around that cross? Anybody have any ideas? Oh, yes, go ahead.
Because of his sins?
Because of what?
Because of his sins.
Well, you're getting close, but not quite. Yes.
Because he's from Earth?
No. What does red think make us think about? Paul?
Makes us think about his blood.
Very good. Yes, that's wonderful. Here's a verse we're familiar with. Want to read this to us?
The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all sin. 1 John 1:7.
Right, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us from all sin. All sin. That's amazing. All sin. You know, when I clean a house, or when I wash dishes, or when I do laundry, do you suppose I ever get anything perfectly clean? No, we can't do it. But God can. And Jesus did. The man on the cross beside the Lord Jesus was just as righteous, just as pure in God's sight as his own son. That's the work of God. Has that work been done in your life? Are you righteous and pure in God's eyes? This is what God saw. Well, our time is about up. We know that all three men died. And I'm going to illustrate that very quickly here. All three men died. What do you think these things are supposed to be? These funny looking things here, yes. What are they?
Gravestones.
And if those men who died on Calvary, two of them, their bodies are still on this earth. That's why I only have two gravestones. Why is there no gravestone for the Lord Jesus? Why is there no gravestone for the Lord Jesus? Why?
Because he rose again and
yes.
to heaven.
Where is Jesus' body now?
In heaven.
In heaven, where he is, yes. The Lord Jesus is alive. There's no grave down here that holds him. Not now. Now, the Bible tells us something else. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. I have other things I would use to illustrate. I want to remember, there are two destinies for each one of us here. Where are you going? Which thief are you like? Are you like the thief that believed and experienced the love of God? Or are you like the thief who didn't believe and will never know the love of God? We love him because he first loved us. And that's the proof of it. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, we have just a couple minutes left. Maybe we sing one song together. They might have a song. Yes.
43.
What number?
43.
43. Number 43.
One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside.
Each of us here might even seriously think of the words we just sang. There's two choices, two sides to the door. There's an inside and outside. We thank you, our God, for each one here that's on the inside, and we pray for anyone here who might still be on the outside, not trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior. We thank you for this wonderful story, for this wonderful demonstration, an eternal expression of your love. We thank you this morning, our God and Father, for our Lord Jesus.